Scrolling for January 1st, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Baby New Year.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Every year, Chip, every year you tell that same joke, and I still laugh at it every time.
Well, Steve, I'm wearing a diaper.
I know.
And nothing else. Nothing else. I smell like baby powder.
You smell wonderful.
But you know what I don't have? Not Johnson & Johnson baby powder. I just have regular baby powder.
Gold Bond?
Gold Bond.
Are you going old man Gold Bond on me?
Exactly.
I love Gold Bond. Happy New Year, everyone. It is January 1st, 2019. What an amazing year 2018 was. I look forward to the surprises that 2019 hold for us.
Well, Steve, we've had champagne. Well, I mean, you've had champagne. I'm a baby. But we've enjoyed ourselves, and now it's the day to start the new year. All those new things that we want to do for the next year.
All those resolutions that will last about 4 days.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You and I both got a chance to see Mary Poppins Returns.
Mary Poppins!
I knew you were going to say that. This is the sequel to Mary Poppins, the 1964 classic.
As I live and breathe.
I really, really enjoyed this film. The wife and I went out to go see this. We took both of the boys. My teenage boys did not like this movie one bit, but my wife was enraptured by this film, and I loved sitting next to her and watching this movie.
So on my 100-point scale,
uh-huh.
A 60.
That's pretty high for you. You say 60 when you don't like stuff, and you say 60 when you do like stuff. So this is
not one for the ages.
I liked this movie a lot, but
I liked a lot of it.
I agree with you that this one might be one of the forgotten ones in the Disney repertoire.
Now, Emily Blunt did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a good job at putting together the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
My challenge with this movie is it seems that they took the first Mary Poppins Disney film,
mm-hmm.
and they said, okay, this was the first song by the Sherman Brothers, and we're going to have a song that'll be similar, but it'll be similar enough.
Yeah.
Different, but similar enough.
That's sequelitis, really, when it comes down to it.
Basically, every beat from the first movie, mm-hmm. with Julie Andrews, they basically took the same beat with this one.
And they did that on purpose. This is a sequel. This is a period piece where they wanted it to look just like it did in 1964.
And it looked very 1960s.
And has that updated technology to it. So we had a lot more green screen work.
Yes.
A lot more technology. A lot more flying. A lot more flying.
They were swimming, Steve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're throwing things in the bathtub, and then they're going to go swim.
I love the heart of this story. The heart of Mary Poppins is right in this movie. It is still Mary Poppins.
Well, my feeling is, if you want to watch Mary Poppins sequels,
mm-hmm.
go get the Nanny McPhee versions. Both of those were very much, not musicals,
mm-hmm.
but they were very much Mary Poppins.
I think that you should go see Saving Mr. Banks, the creation story for Mary Poppins. That is a touching tale with a lot of great characters putting together that original musical.
So at one time I taught, we don't have art classes here in Illinois in our school district, and we do now, but when my kids were growing up. So the parents would come in and they would teach art.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we would play the whatever the latest musical was at the time. So Frozen was like Broadway. And, as the kids are painting or doing whatever they're doing, it becomes like Broadway. Every kid is like trying to do their solos. There is nothing in this music that the young kids would come out and they go, oh yes, I've got to let it go. I'm going to hum this song.
And a lot of the critics have said very similar things, that the music really left them flat. I think that the song about stories and books was the song that really caught me. It is a very different song from that original 1964 type music, because Lin-Manuel Miranda is there and he gets to really shine in that song.
Now, I can't think of what the song. There was a song they sang earlier in the film, and then later on they sang at the end that I enjoyed. And I thought that was the signature song of it. But I certainly, you know, I didn't go in and go, I have Apple Music. I didn't sit there and go, well, I'm going to have to download the Mary Poppins Returns soundtrack. I mean, I may do so just to kind of re-review it. But I don't want to say this is a bad film. This is not a bad film. It is a very capable film. But it seemed very much like a Disney, maybe heartless, just cash grab type of looking of a film, as opposed to we really needed to tell another story and let's get a great cast.
Okay. I don't disagree with you on that, but I really enjoy this. I thought that Emily Blunt was Mary Poppins here, and she was fun to look at, and so I could imagine being those kids and being in that situation and having that fun with that magical lady.
Now, a few years ago, Julie Andrews retired.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mary Poppins for you young kids who didn't know, for the 60s film. Now, she retired from singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the last song, the balloon song, instead of flying a kite, you're going to fly a balloon. The one that was sang by Angela Lansbury.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was written with the idea of Julie Andrews performing that.
I could see that. Not that Angela Lansbury did a bad job. She did a fantastic job.
She did.
But she didn't quite fit the same way that a Julie Andrews sitting in that chair would have fit.
Well, we definitely had Bert show up.
Yeah.
With his Cockney accent.
Yeah.
No.
Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke does show up and he does a little dance. I enjoyed that scene a lot.
And yes, and he very much was enjoying himself.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Van Dyke is a very fun guy. The last time we saw him that I really enjoyed him was it Nightmare at the Museum?
Night at the Museum. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Those are some fun films where those old guys were having some fun.
He's got a great smile.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed this film. I would not disagree with you that it probably is going to be forgettable. It's not a classic like The Lion King. It's probably going to be on the same level as those live action animal movies that we saw the previews for.
Well, I'm thinking this one. The live action remakes like Cinderella and
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, where certainly they're capable, but you know the cartoons were the cartoons.
I agree with you. I do suggest that you go see this one. Like, take your wife, who was really into Mary Poppins in the 60s or in the 70s in my case, and really go and enjoy your time. That's what the New Year's all about, I think. You also got a chance to see Ralph Breaks the Internet. This is one that I still haven't gotten to. Is this a good Disney movie?
Well, this is very similar to Mary Poppins. I mean, it's capable. It's certainly not offensive or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a great cast. But, you know, ultimately, it's a forgettable film. There's nothing that they're going through that the first movie didn't do better. So I enjoyed watching this I in the sense that I watched it, but I don't think this is, I think this is 55, 60, same thing. If you have young kids and you went to see it, great. Yeah, I think you're going to be okay with that.
A fun, entertaining time.
Sure,
good enough.
But you know, we're at such a high level right now where you go, oh, is it going to be a classic? Yeah, probably not a classic, but enjoyable enough. It is an exploration of the internet. The kids who were beside me who were watching it, I had a couple families with me, and they responded really well. And this is what the kids know. They know the brand names. They know Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
They know Google. They know the brands, and that's what made them excited. Interesting. That's an interesting way of thinking about this.
Interesting marketing thing that was going on that one. I do still need to see that one. I will put that on my list for 2019. Opening this week, there might be some movies that are on your list for 2019, or maybe not. Maybe the first week of 2019 is not the list of the best movies coming out. Maybe all of the good movies are still out there in the theaters from last week, and you should catch some of those. Opening this week, we have a movie called Escape Room.
So if you have teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and we've got escape rooms all over the Chicago area.
They're hot right now.
So we have a movie based on this, but seems like the stakes are a little higher, Steve.
And in the trailer, it seems like escape rooms are hot is a theme that they picked up on because they turn this escape room into an oven.
Well, that gets things started, Steve. Get it?
This looks interesting. It looks like an adventure. It does not look like something I would go see in the movie theater. And it also seems like we saw the whole movie in the trailer.
I would absolutely agree with that.
So go watch the trailer and save your $12. There is a movie called State Like Sleep. This is the story of a woman who is grappling with the consequences of her celebrity husband's double life. She has to find out. This is a film noir study of finding out the secrets of her husband.
Well, once again, General Zod from the Superman films makes a reappearance. I don't know if he's a ghost.
He mumbles his way through this one just as much. He doesn't open his mouth very much. He's like, Michael, hello, everybody.
Michael Shannon, he's great. Anyway, this looks interesting, but not great. Yeah, maybe this is the type of stuff to watch streaming.
Yeah, that might. Yes, I agree with you. I might watch this one streaming. It might be an interesting enough puzzle.
Steve, are there any cartoons that maybe I could mark off that maybe not see this week?
Yes, the cartoon to not watch this week is called Animal Crackers. This is the story of a family that inherits a failing circus, and they run off to the circus, but then the twist comes in where they eat an animal cracker and they become the animal for which the cracker is shaped.
Now, this, of course, stars our people from The Quiet Place.
Yes, this you caught that, huh? This is John Krasinski and his wife, Emily Blunt, so Mary Poppins and her quiet husband.
Exactly, the guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And, of course, Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito as a creepy clown. And
seems like this is Danny DeVito in circuses is something that we see a lot.
Yes, it is.
And he's going to be showing up in Dumbo also.
Right. This is also Sir Ian McKellen as the antagonist.
They shall not pass.
Right. Raven Simone is in there along with Sylvester Stallone. Those rhyme. Don't get those confused.
Whoa.
Patrick Warburton, who is always wonderful.
Oh, he's great.
As voice actor. And Tara Strong along with Wallace Shawn, Gilbert Gottfried, Harvey Fierstein. This one's got an all-star cast. I really wish that the cartoon itself looked like something that I wanted to watch.
I agree. Steve, your life will be even better.
Yes.
Tonight. Tell us a little bit about what's going to happen.
Remember last year, Chip? Seems like just yesterday, doesn't it?
It does. Steve, they lost you on Christmas Day.
That's right.
Without a story.
There was no new Doctor Who episode on BBC America on Christmas Day for the first time in 13 years.
What?
But tonight, they're making it right. There is a new episode of Doctor Who on tonight. It is called Resolution. Get it? New Year's Resolution. And it is the only, I say again, the only episode of Doctor Who in the year 2019. The next episode after tonight will be in the year 2020.
So the joke about this is that, if it was an American property, yes, they would have another season next year. But see, in Britain, there's only 15, 16 actors. And they're booked up, Steve.
That's right. They're all booked for year 2019. They'll be available in 2020. We can have Doctor Who then. I look forward to this, of course. I look forward to a new episode of Doctor Who always. But I especially look forward to the new Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, gets a scarf in this episode. It is a beautiful scarf. Our friend Taylor Dethridge already has hers. And she was unboxing it on the internet and showing us this wonderful scarf. I look forward to this episode more than just about anything in the new year.
Steve, if everyone wasn't watching college football bowl games, would they be watching something on CNN the same thing?
Yeah, tonight on CNN, they are going to show the documentary Love, Gilda. This is the story of Gilda Radner in her own words, her diaries, her rare home movies, and all of the comedians who have come up as a result of what Gilda Radner did get to talk about her in this documentary tonight.
How wonderful. Now, there's all the movies that came out last week for Christmas.
Yeah.
There's so many great movies out there.
Many.
And then, of course, you have these. So enjoy yourself at the theater.
Yeah, it's 2019.
Scroll with it.
brings us to our scroll with it. And Chip, it is your favorite episode every year at this time for 5 years. I bring to you your predictions for 2019.
Well, I'm, you know, like Johnny Carson, I've got my big hat on and I've got my envelopes ready. I'll be tearing them open as we talk. It's hard to do that dressed as a baby like I am, but we'll do our best.
Get the diaper and the hat. Can't tell heads or tails on Chip today.
Later on, everyone can change me.
Don't go changing. So, since this is one of your least favorite episodes...
I didn't say least.
You dislike this. You've hated this every time we do it for 5 years, but I still make you do it. Do you want to go first? Do you want to tell me one of your predictions first?
One of my predictions. Well, Steve, this is the magic one. I had dinner at Whole Foods down in right across from Woodfield.
Okay.
So there's a Whole Foods in Schaumburg, mm-hmm. not one near us. But anyway, inside Whole Foods, there is a bar, a real bar.
Really?
Steve, they serve a number of craft beers, which doesn't surprise me, thinking about where Amazon is headquartered. So this bar has wine, they have beer, and actually they have all liquor, too. You can order something from their kitchen. Now, this is a grocery store, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can order something from their kitchen. You want to have a hamburger? They'll make you a hamburger. You want,
really?
And they will deliver it to your table.
In a grocery store.
In the grocery store.
Huh.
So it's a separate area. So what they truly are doing is they're testing, you know, the idea of using your, I guess, your Amazon Prime card as part of this. And just testing a bunch of concepts. You know, will you use, you know, would you go to an Amazon hotel? Would you go to an Amazon restaurant? I think that they're doing this and they're doing a good job at it. So I can tell you that the bar that they have, when I say not the alcohol bar, but their food bar, is different than the one that has changed from the previous ownership to this one. That doesn't mean it's bad. Hmm. It's just they have fewer items. But definitely, you can see the Amazon influence throughout this concept.
Hmm. So your prediction for 2019 is this is going to extend to other parts of...
They're going to test in other areas. Like I said, I think Amazon, with their presence, could test a hotel or could test a standalone restaurant.
The Amazon theme park where you go to work in the factory and put the things into the boxes?
It's kind of like Disney World, except for you pack things and you send them off to people.
It's the Huckleberry Finn. Here, it'd be fun. You could pack the boxes too. You come on, give me a dollar and you could pack the boxes.
Well, they know a lot about you, and I think there's an opportunity there.
I agree with you on that. That is a very interesting prediction for 2019. I think the Avengers Endgame will feature the death of Tony Stark and the introduction of another character who will take up the Iron Man mantle, and I'm willing to go one step further, and I'm going to say that that character is going to be Tony's granddaughter, Rhodey Stark. That's something that happens in the comic books, by the way.
Okay.
That's a pretty bold prediction, I think.
I don't think that's a bold prediction. No. I think Stark is going to die.
I think so.
He may come back as Jarvis.
Oh.
You never know.
Can they afford to get Robert Downey Jr. to do voice work like that?
They get wonderful actors. So I would say that this is as good as Robert Downey Jr. has been for the Marvel franchises.
Mm-hmm.
This has been very good for him, too. It's raised his profile.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about that. I think Robert Downey Jr.'s career really took off when he did such a good job in that first Iron Man movie, launched the entire MCU on that performance.
And just remember, that's an independent film. That certainly wasn't the Marvel of today.
That's right.
That truly was an independent and not when I say not anything special, it was special, but it certainly wasn't. They didn't expect it to do what it did.
But when it did, it launched that whole MCU.
A billion-dollar industry.
Yeah, no question about it. Do you have another prediction?
I do. Chain restaurants will start preparing food again. And what I mean by that is that many millennials, and younger people are basically shunning many of the brands that we grew up with. And my favorite comment on that is, was somebody said, but that's because they were crap, and we knew they were crap. So the idea was that your Applebee's or Bennigan's or whatever that keeps shutting down, they're going to have to find another concept. And throwing food in a microwave and slopping it on a plate is not going to be the answer. That means they're going to have to start making food again.
So you think that specific brands are going to feature what, chefs?
Yeah, they're going to have to hire chefs. They may have their own chef on duty, and they may be following recipes. But the idea is the person in the back or the group of people in the back are actually going to make it on premises.
I've always said that there's a difference between cooking and making food. And those restaurants that have a chef on staff that are making food, not just microwaving the same stuff.
Sure.
That is special. And I agree with you. I would love to see that happen for Applebee's. Because
it could be Chili's or any of the others. The idea of having, you know, 60 items on a menu or more, and being able to do that all great, it seems like maybe it's too much. So maybe what they're going to do is they're going to focus. We've seen a number of, you know, they've got these chef shows on all the time. They're teaching people what real food is. And the idea of going to a restaurant and actually paying somebody to throw food into a microwave and then serving it to you seems counterintuitive of why you would want to go out anyway.
I absolutely agree, and I think that that is one of the reasons why we very carefully choose our restaurants that we go to as a family.
Sure.
Is that difference. My second Avengers Endgame prediction is the Avengers Endgame will feature Black Panther's sciencey sister Shuri as the key to ending the Infinity War.
Good Lord, man. I'm seriously, I predict that Star Wars will be existing.
I got Star Wars coming up. Just stick with the Avengers for now.
You're talking about movies. Like, I will predict, I'm predicting the movie will star actors. All right.
We always get these wrong. The whole sheet from last year, we get them all wrong.
It's a time loop. Once it's completed, what we're going to do is we'll have the Fox stories folded into it.
Okay.
They can recreate the entire universe again with all new actors if they want to.
Except for Luke Cage. Not for 2 years. Can't have him for 2 years.
Why not?
There's a thing, since they're taking all of those Netflix shows off of Netflix, the Marvel contractually cannot use those characters for 2 years. So we'll see what happens with Daredevil.
All right.
What else do you got that's not a movie?
All right. So I think this year we're going to see blockchain roll out. I don't think it's going to be in everything yet, but we're going to see it. I'm not talking about currency. I'm talking about using blockchain as the background of stuff and start
security
and start moving it. So that, you know, when you purchase something, and that the blockchain is going to be the recorder of that thing.
I wish that that is true. I hope that that is true, but I don't see it happening. I think that...
I said it's going to start this year. I didn't say it was going to dominate.
There will be blockchain news stories. I will agree with you on that, but I still say that people are very nervous about this thing that they don't understand.
Well, this is not for them. This is the background. They won't know it's blockchain.
Oh. So this is a prediction that we can't possibly find out whether or not it's true.
No, a bank could pass something between banks in blockchain. And it's not something you need to know.
Right.
It's just a way of recording it and making it better. I think that we're going to start seeing the beginnings of moving over to this. I would say within 10 years, you know, when you purchase something like on the stock market, it's going to be through blockchain.
I hope that you're right, because blockchain is a wonderful system.
It's just a recording system.
And it's a great way to keep those things secure while still being transparent enough so that nobody can mess with it. It's a great system, and I hope that you are right about that. Should I do a non-movie prediction next? Is that what you want from me?
Oh, just do what you're going to do.
Okay. My Star Wars prediction. Star Wars Episode 9 will feature the death of Princess Leia and the inexplicable yet official installation of Rey as the leader of the Resistance.
Good Lord. Brooks is like, well, Carrie Fisher's dead, but yes. Somehow she survived.
She survived three times in the last movie for some inexplicable reason.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Fancy.
All right. Give me a non-movie one.
All right. So Google, Alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
The parent company, which nobody knows anyway.
They just call it the parent company.
Oh, good Lord. It's going to rebrand YouTube TV. It is probably the most confusing name I can imagine. This is their streaming television service.
And it's the one that you subscribe to.
Exactly.
And so you'd say to people, I've got YouTube TV. And everybody replies,
I've got YouTube.
It's not the same.
We're going to continue to see people shedding cable.
Yeah.
The skinny bundles are going to become much more mainline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once a person learns how to use a Roku, a Fire Stick, Apple TV, mm-hmm. whatever your smart TV. Smart TVs are terrible because they don't update the software.
I agree with you. Until I got my first Roku built-in smart TV, that is for me the perfect combination of the smart TV and the Roku.
Well, as long as Roku continues to update that for that television.
Uh huh.
But the idea of streaming services, whether that's Hulu, whether that's the Sony version with DirecTV Now, with Sling TV. Mm-hmm. YouTube TV, the idea of your skinny bundle. And skinny bundles usually maybe have 40 channels or so, and they charge per month for those.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is, the combat to that right now is your internet service provider is giving you television for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if you sign up for our internet, we'll give you this television service.
Right.
Well, the idea of having to keep up when something expires.
Yeah.
Seems to stink.
Mm-hmm.
And this, we're very much, you know, Ron Johnson, who basically was the gentleman who developed the Apple Store, who eventually became the JCPenney CEO, mm-hmm. and almost bankrupt him.
Mm-hmm.
But his idea was, hey, listen, a square deal. People should know what they're going to purchase, and this is just the price, and everything shouldn't be on sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're moving towards that. You know, whatever that dollar and that nut is,
yeah,
the $40 a month, this is what you pay for your skinny bundle of television.
Yeah, I'll agree with you that in 2019, we will see even more people leaving that full buffet that is cable right now and going to the a la carte, only paying for that which you want. If it's the $40 skinny bundle, then that's fine. That's what you want. That's absolutely...
Well, that may be the cost of... in fact, Disney Plus,
mm-hmm.
could add a television service in there, and they could wipe it up right there.
Yeah.
And I could see that happening. I could see Netflix basically adding a television service within there. Because what you're really looking for are, you know, sports, typically, are the more challenging things to get.
Right.
And, you know, then some people like the Garden Channel, or they like, whatever the latest trend is.
I love the Food Channel. I love what the HGTV, just mm-hmm. for having noise on in the background, but those are not valuable to me.
No, absolutely not.
That's the difference. I agree with you on that one. Should I do another movie one?
Sure.
Star Wars Episode 9 will gross more than $700 million domestically in 2019. It's going to have a comeback from The Last Jedi, which was not a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I don't necessarily think that's true. I don't think this generation is following Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And I think the first two of since Disney.
Yeah.
Have kind of showed the cracks in this franchise. And what I mean by that is they were not Cylons. They didn't have a plan,
yeah.
and it absolutely showed.
Cylons didn't have a plan either. They said they had a plan. They were like politicians.
Well, in fact, that's a great point, is that Ronald Moore, the gentleman who created the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, they were writing the show along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very difficult. You're seeing what the difficulty is, because think of J.K. Rowling's and her Harry Potter stories,
uh-huh.
movies, and then seeing with the Fantastic Beasts, where she's just writing along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you have an outline of what you're trying to do, it's really, really hard to put together this type of franchise. And I think that's really what the weakness of the Star Wars franchise is right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you couldn't have all the, I guess, baby boomers and Gen Xers show up. I'm just thinking that, yeah, the young people are, this is not their franchise.
Hmm. I don't disagree with you, but I will have fun at Star Wars Celebration 2019. I know that much.
I know you will.
You got one more?
Nope.
No, you're good. I got one more. This is my hangover from not last night, but from last week. Remember last year? Good times. Seems like just yesterday. I said Donald Trump would not be the president of the United States at the end of 2018. I've now scratched through 2018 and written 2019.
Okay.
Because I think that this might be the year.
It could be.
I don't know. Maybe not.
It could be.
I'm putting it out there as the, remember last year? Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like that. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but those are our predictions.
Well, whatever happens, I hope it happens quickly. There's no reason to dilly-dally around. I saw Mary Poppins, Steve.
That's right. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Well, I need a change, so I'll see you next week.
If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And we're on Spotify, kids. Go to your Spotify. You can find Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Baby New Year.
We'll see you in the future.
Steve, when you see a seafood restaurant at a gas station, you always go all.